Choose not to live in a world of filters. Realize your mistakes. Set the foundation for your success. Get some wins. Knucklehead Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Knucklehead Podcast. We got with us today, I don't want to call him a knucklehead. I want to say he's a lot and a little. So he's a big energy source in a tiny little package. God makes things in really tiny packages really, really good. That's Mario Fields today. We got Sergeant Major Fields with us. Excuse me. Sergeant Major Mario Fields, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Stephen, my old Sergeant of Marines / Corporal Marines / the guy to have my back in Iraq, man. How you doing, brother?
It's good. It's good to see you. It's good to see you, my friend. Things are good. I want people to know, first of all, what were some things? We're going to just dive right in. I mean, here's the thing. We follow a pretty strict format here, and that is we don't have a whole lot of fluff. We've got a motto on Knucklehead Podcast, and that is don't be beta. So all that does is encourages people to not shirk away from the responsibility of taking ownership of their life, taking ownership of the mistakes that they've made, and being willing to go out and screw up because they know they're going to learn. So I'm interested. What were some things that early on that you got started with, whether it was in your Marine Corps pursuit or what was your development? Why is it that you joined the Marine Corps? Tell us a little bit about you.
Hey, so first of all, man, I got to correct you, man. I was a knucklehead. I think all of us were knuckleheads, man. I wasn't born like this. Well, I was born short, but I wasn't born, you know, the motivator. Man, I was a knucklehead. So when I was in high school, man, I liked to party. I liked girls. And I liked to party, and I had no discipline. So I would be studying. If a female called me, man, I stopped studying. I went to the party. And I said, hey, you know what? I need to get some discipline, or else my dad and mom will kill me. So I started, you know, so at the end of the day, it was his corporal. His name was Matias. He came back. He graduated from my high school. He came back, you know, to visit the high school, and he was probably about 5'2". And he was squared away, he was short, but brother. And he was squared away, he was confident, and he was like, hey, you got good to go. You know, you gotta be like this, good to go. And I was like, man, that dude's disciplined.
Did he have the voice too? Did he have the little bit of rap? Was he like, hey, listen up right now?
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know, here I am 17 from Pontiac, Michigan, man. I'm like, man, that's some good stuff. I ain't never heard no voice like that. And he was so hey, Steven, he was so confident though, man, to be 5'0", brother. I was like, man, I could join the Marine Corps real quick for, you know, maybe a couple of years, get some discipline. And that way, when I go to college, right, and they say, Mario, you want to come out, come to this party? Hell no, I got to study.
That's awesome. That's obviously probably not the way that everything went down. However, in your mind, okay, listen, that's how it's going to work out. If he can do it, I know I can do it. That's the cool thing about mistakes. That's the cool thing about relatable leadership. I heard somebody say not too long ago, there's a disconnect between groupthink and collaborative leadership format. And would you say that, you know, your decision to join the Marine Corps helped you to be more relatable to your Marines or more relatable to your officers that you're kind of have a responsibility to influence in their decision making?
So I'll be honest, a lot of it started before I joined. You know, so before I joined, I grew up in a diverse, you know, area. So even before I joined, man, I was able to interact with, you know, whites, blacks, interracial, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Arabs. Michigan has the largest Arab population in the world. Yep. When I joined the Marine Corps just taught me how to leverage everybody's culture. You know, how to tap in to everybody's worth to accomplish the mission. But it taught me that everybody's different, man. But you got to be able to relate to everybody, the country boy, the city boy, the broke boy, the homeless girl, to accomplish one mission. And that's what the Marine Corps did. The Marine Corps taught me how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you've got at least one example where that blew up in your face, though, where you were like, oh, shoot. That ain't.
Hey, hell yeah.
What's one of those times where you didn't anticipate it blowing up in your face, but it did?
Yeah, man. Hey, so, you know, it was this one, you know, one Marine, you know, I'll be honest, I thought he's black. But He was from the West Indies. You know, it's different, you know. Yeah, he wasn't there. He was from like Trinidad or Tobago. And I assumed that he was just a, you know, black dude from like Detroit. Yeah. And I was wrong. And he could speak fluent French. So, yeah, so, you know, I prejudged him. I was prejudiced. And when I approached him, you know, to talk about, you know, I thought I can connect to him and talk kind of city. But when I got done talking like I was from the hood, you know, he looked at me like, you're an idiot.
He's like, we're not speaking the same language at all. So it's interesting.
Nope.
That's how I feel all the time whenever I try to talk to people like that. It just doesn't register. There's almost as like I'm talking through a filter. They look at me like I got something growing out of my forehead. Half the time I got something on my face that I don't even know that I do, but that's just me. That's just me. Sometimes you just got to own it and say, hey, listen, do I got something in my teeth? And play it off and just go from there. That's just how it works. Awkward environments call for some weird transitions. I'll just put it to you that way.
It did, Stephen. You know, but what I learned from that, man, I learned a valuable lesson. You know, I never prejudge anyone. You know, I need to be patient. I need to get to know them. And I don't care who they are, what, you know, color, gender, but I need to be patient and learn where they're from and then better communicate by trying to attempt to think I know where they're from. And that's what I really learned from that situation, brother.
Well, that's a maturation process, right? So you had an exposure to a diverse data set or a diverse group of people prior to the Marine Corps. And then you had this kind of rigidity in terms of how you were taught lessons. And that's what the Marine Corps does, is they provide structure and discipline and order where quite frankly, things are completely unstructured. There's a lack of discipline and things are completely disordered. I think it was Rumsfeld that talked about, you know, you go to war with the army you have, not necessarily the army that you want, right? And so you got to go make it work. And you figured out how to kind of make applesauce out of apples during your time in. But that's given you some unique perspective. You know, we have a responsibility to lead people. But what are some leadership lessons that you feel like you've been able to develop that have your own spin on it that the Marine Corps has kind of thrust you into? What are some examples of those?
Well, I would tell you this, man. One thing I have learned from the Marine Corps and through failing, of course, and I just highlighted one of them, is the constant is everybody human beings. You know, that's the thing that hasn't changed since 1775, my friend. Is everybody's a human being. You know, but now you just got to learn, and I had to learn, how do I articulate, you know, my message, my leadership? How do I be firm and fair? But at the end of the day, where everybody knows, hey, Fields may have yelled at me or Fields may have been disappointed. But at the end of the day, man, we know that guy cares. And through failure, you know, through failing up front, and not just in leadership, hell, I failed swim qual. I failed swim qual and boot camp, man, until the last day, dog.
Wow. Really?
I did. As a matter of fact, the drill instructor said, my senior drill instructor said, if you don't pass today, you are done. And that failing, and I failed the whole time. And you know what part I kept failing? The easy part.
We're talking about like when you just go across the shallow. That's the time you kept on failing that?
No way. Yeah, because my feet couldn't touch the ground. I'm just messing with you.
I've stood next to you.
No, I was failing. So when I went through swim qual, I was failing the part where you pull the pack and you put it up front of you and then you float. So, yes.
That's like the easiest part. You just.
Steven, that's, yeah. So I failed swim qual from the first time we did it until mess and maintenance and then the last day for swim qual before they were going to send me back. And failing multiple times taught me to lean on my recruits, lean on the guy on the left and right. Everybody in the platoon had faith in me, man. It didn't matter who you were, and I just didn't give up. But that taught me that no matter what, brother, no matter what, failure is great because it gives you that extra skill set and wisdom to be even better, man.
Yeah, you. I remember whenever we were getting ready. So full transparency, everybody who's listening to this podcast, I was a corporal who liked to complain, right? And Sergeant Major Fields was first Sergeant Fields at the time. And I remember one time we were at CACS in 29 Palms, and he pulled me aside, and he goes, listen, Corporal Cole here, I'm probably 5'11" on a good day, 6 foot, right? And don't let him lie to you. He's 4'10".
Be careful.
He's not 5'2".
Be careful.
I'm just messing with you. No. He's looking up at me and he goes, Cole, listen, I know a lot of people, and you will not go on this deployment if you continue to complain. And I remember, I didn't understand. And it wasn't, it was just an introduction to reality, understanding that he could very easily snatch me up. And he adjusted my attitude. He may not even remember that, but that 20 to 30 seconds of reality check that I got changed the rest of my time in the Marine Corps. He helped me through a lot of things. I remember some fireside chats that we can talk about some other time, but I will tell you what, his transparency, the authenticity, and the leadership, it held you accountable to a standard that was never lower. And it was always something that he provided. And I remember him talking about our command whenever we were going to on the deployment. He said that you'll notice there's good commands, and then there's also commands that need some help. Those commands that are good, we operate as a unit. And he was always a consistent, leading by example, always out in front of his Marines, leading the charge. So I always appreciated that about you. You and Master Sergeant Smith were two of my favorite people on the planet. So.
Well, now I can tell you the secret, man, because as a first sergeant, you can fire me. The company's good. I needed you for employment. No, I'm just.
I see. All right. Well, the truth comes out 10 years later. The lesson doesn't change. So.
No, you're a good person. I knew you were a good human being. And I said, you know what? I got to try a different tactic because he's so intellectually sound. I'm going to have to piss him off or do something different to get him to understand.
Well, it worked. It helped me in the accountability aspect that I was lacking at the time. So I appreciated that.
No worries, Steve.
With that said, you've gone through some changes over the course of your Marine Corps career. Obviously, you've got personal challenges. You've seen, when I say personal challenges, some people would say a hangnail is a personal challenge. I dare them to talk to you and talk to them about some of the things that you've been able to overcome. You mind sharing some things that you've witnessed over your time in the Marine Corps that have actually helped you develop the character, the honor, the courage, the commitment, the integrity that's needed that you see in leadership or that's lacking in leadership nowadays that you feel like is a good lesson that you've learned in the past?
Yeah, so I'll hit three things real quick. First, my family, my wife. You know, when my marriage took a beating early in my career is because I was putting my career first. And you couldn't convince me otherwise, right? And then what I realized was that I was putting so much energy into my career at Marine Corps, which is not a career, you know, I love it. It's a culture, it's a life. But no matter what adjective you use, I put so much energy into it that I started neglecting my wife. And then my children. And so I had to change that balance. The second thing was my 21-year-old son, last year got diagnosed with bipolar and schizo. And I grew up with mental illness in my mom's side of the family, but I never had to live with it. And our relationship was very, very difficult because I didn't understand his world. I was trying to get him to come to my world. And what he taught me was sometimes you need to come to the subordinates' world to understand how they see things. And it really changed my relationship with my son when I said, you know what, let me meet him halfway, brother. You know, let me meet him halfway. Even my daughter on certain things that she doesn't like, she's 23. But I had to really compromise. I wouldn't say compromise, you just got to be amenable and know yourself and seek self-improvement. It can't always be your way. And then the last thing was myself. When I came back from Afghanistan in May of 2011, brother, I was drinking alcohol, man, Monday through Monday. And it was my wife and my daughter that said, hey, my daughter's like, you're an alcoholic. but my wife was like, Lamar, you're really drinking way too much. And I was, man, I was drinking a lot. And I drink bourbon. And so I said, hey, look, if I don't get this under control, then I'm going to check myself in. But I started noticing, like, very emotional. Man, I cry over Alice in Chains. Hey, here comes the rooster. Man, I'd be crying driving to the Cherry Point. you know? And I'm like, this ain't normal, man. So I was like, hey, either you got courage, right? And you don't care if somebody judges you and you say, hey, I need some help. Or you cannot have courage and kind of hold it in. And I said, screw that, man. I got courage. You know, so I went, got some help. I'm a car-carrying member. I love my psychiatrist. Chris is awesome. And, you know, those are the three big events I would say recently that really, really shaped me, brother.
It was a good book. That's, I appreciate you sharing that. There's a really good book. Lewis Howes talks about the mask and masculinity, about how there's an overcompensation effect. That, I mean, it's really just kind of imposter syndrome where you feel inadequate by some event, right? And so you get emotionally attached or tied up to whatever that event is, and you start to mask it, you know, whether it's through substance or self-medication, or some people do it through out-earning or out-working a problem, and then they end up putting themselves in a financial position that's less than advantageous. So not everybody pulls themselves out of that scenario. So that's a credit to your structure, the family structure, the support network that you have. And it's also you've probably seen a lot of Marines screw themselves up with not getting help. So
And you know, here's another thing, Steve. What I used to do is interview like the Vietnam vets, man, and the older people. Because I figured, I said, hell, I'm going to fail because it's good, you know. But I want to interview the wise old man and woman. So maybe I don't make the same mistake, man. And when I interviewed those Vietnam vets, brother, they're the ones that actually gave me the wisdom and common sense to not make the same mistakes they made. And that really helped me early on in life. You know, I think I started talking to him when I was 3 years old, my friend, and, you know, and I just kept talking to him.
It wouldn't surprise me. You probably came out. You were like asking the doctor, hey, can you give me a sandwich? I'm ready to go. That's how you came out. All right. So we've got a few minutes left here, and I'm interested in what you're doing now. So, I mean, you're Sergeant Major, Wounded Warrior Battalion. But you've got plans. You're going to be doing some stuff post-Marine Corps career, and you're probably going to be doing some things while you're active that set the foundation for that. So can you talk about that a little bit, and where can people find you, where can people support you, and how can they find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, Steve. So, hey, Steven. So I got my YouTube channel, 5'3" Motivator. All you got to do is Google it, and a whole bunch of stuff will come up, but make sure you just click on the YouTube channel. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at 30_SECSec_Moto. And believe it or not, right before we went live on this, I opened up a Reddit account.
Did you?
I did. Okay. And I posted my first video on Reddit. And you can follow me on 5-12-3-Motivator on Reddit. And I'm also on the USMC. I subscribe to the USMC. And then Facebook. I'm at Mario Fields Senior, and so if anybody wants to follow me, man, they can use those social media platforms. And then what I'm going to do when I get out, so I'm going to retire next year, probably around July, August. I'm going to do Gerald TC, but I'm also going to start my own motivational speaking consulting company, and that's the future plans for me. And the basis of my motivational company will be the acronym DRIVE, and then I will go around and discuss what does DRIVE mean. And how does that tie into time, relationships, and service?
Those are all great. those are all great. I want to say pillars to a business, right? So the component that you're using there is, there's something to be said about the Marine Corps and their difference. The difference how they promote as opposed to the other branches of service, where you have to take a physical test in order to, you know, constitute some type of merit-based promotion. Marine Corps, there's a physical fitness component. There's obviously a merit component, but then there's this proficiency and conduct marks. And then as you get through the ranks, a lot of it has to do with your accountability and taking ownership of your career. I think that there's something to be said about a lack of accountability, so to speak, in industry. Commercially, that somebody like you with your experience could add a significant amount of value to a lot of organizations are out there. So there's a lot of experience that you bring to the table. So I think an organization would be better off just for having having you as a part of it for sure.
Well, I can be your secretary. I mean, I can start off small and be your secretary, and you can probably promote me to marketing. I think I'd do pretty good.
You can tell. Yeah, we can talk about that. We had a Navy SEAL on JP Donnell. He's part of the Echelon Front, Jocko Willink. You know, musters that they have, Leif Babin and Jocko Willink. They were part of the Battle of Ramadi, and I think it was in 2005, I believe, 2004, 2005. But those guys, he rapped at the end of that conversation. He said, hey, listen, if you're struggling out there as a veteran with mental health, if you're struggling out there in a transition where you're starting to kind of create some disruption and you're messing yourself up, call me, contact me, let me know. And he made himself available, and it was from the heart. It's kind of humbling to see somebody with that level of experience and that level of service, similar, not all that dissimilar to yourself, to say, hey, I've learned some things, learn from my mistakes. Don't just listen to me because I'm entertaining. I'll entertain you. You'll laugh. But I got something that I want to teach you too. And I think that that's admirable.
Yeah, no. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because one, it's refreshing to know there's some other, you know, brothers in arms that are genuine and genuinely care. And that are out there helping veterans and folks that need help. And then number two, man, you know, folks can follow me. I get emails all the time. I get text messages all the time. If anyone needs any help or they need resources, I'm at Wounded Warrior Battalion, so I got a lot of resources. All you got to do is email me, mpfields302@msn.com. And I can get any resources to you in regards to behavioral health, mental health, any of that stuff. Hell, you might just want to know if there's a charitable org out there, and I can push that to my team, and we'll get you what you need. I just did that today for somebody in Niwakuni, brother. So absolutely. I sure did this morning, and the team came up. My psychiatrist came up on the net, and we had recovery care managers, retired sergeant major. They all came up, man. So, yeah, I'm here.
Well, that's an incredible resource for people. He just gave his email address that you can get in touch with him. Active duty Marine at a Wounded Warrior Battalion. Not everybody understands the level of resources or the depth that goes into that amount of support that's there. So that's a huge offer that people that need help, or if you know somebody who needs some help, that's a resource that you can access right there. So we got literally just about 2 minutes left here. So let me dive in. Is there any last things that you want to touch on before we jam out of here, Sergeant Major?
Yeah. So on a YouTube channel, 4 playlists. One is on mental health. The other one is kind of on $1 million cribs or whatever to make you laugh. One is highlighting Marines and sailors doing great things, and the other one is professional advice. And the last thing is, Mark Twain has a lot of quotes, but the one I live by is, the two most important days in a man's life, the day that man's born, the day that man wakes up and realizes why. And my purpose in life is to serve and help those who I can. That's my closing remarks, you motivator.
I love it. There's a lot of people I've met throughout the years. Some of them are really incredible people. Some of them, not necessarily, they try it hard. And then there's some people who actually make a difference, right? And there's those three tiers, and you can have that top tier. You're talking about a fraction of a percentage, and we're happy to be talking to one. I'm excited about having him on the podcast. I'm excited to see what he does from this point forward, not just in his career, but as he wraps up his Marine Corps career and just passes. I'm excited to see what you do. So anything that I can do to help, let me know. So I'm excited to have you. I'm excited to have you on. I'm excited to have you on again for sure.
You know the deal. Same here. Tell your family. Say hello, man. And I do remember when you were 5'11", when I talked to you, you got on your tippy toes, and I knew you were tall, but I said, I'm going to punch you in your kneecaps to bring you down to my level. I love you, brother.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, don't be beta about the process. You got to be willing to go out there and get yourself some wins.
Yes, sir.
You can find more about Sergeant Major Fields and all those social media channels that he just plugged. You can find him on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. He's on Reddit. Watch out now. And he's also on Facebook. Left his personal email address for those of you who are struggling with some mental health challenges, but don't hesitate to reach out to, listen to Knucklehead Podcast here on Instagram. Listen to us on Facebook. You can also check us out on iTunes. There's an actual app called Podcasts on iTunes. So we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate y'all. See ya.